Amen. Thank you, Sister Clark. My, that'll be the day, won't it? I think what she was singing about will go with the text I want to read this morning. I want you to go to the last book in the Old Testament, Book of Malachi, in the last chapter. I'm sure I've read this to you before, but she's singing about the risen Lord and how we'll live within in His light. Victory we'll have in Him. And I believe this text here says a little bit about it, just a few verses that we'll read in Malachi chapter 4. Give you a chance to find it now. Last book in the Old Testament. I'll speak to you on the subject this morning. The sun, S-U-N, the sun is above the clouds. Now don't say duh. We know that. Well, maybe. The sun is above the clouds. Malachi 4, first three verses. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under your soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm not trying to be silly that the sun is above the clouds, but I want to make an application, symbolically, I guess you would say. You know, one day this week, rare in Florida, but one day this week it was so cloudy you never did see the sun almost all day. Anybody remember? Have you ever been in a place when you couldn't see it and you needed to see it, like lost in the woods or in some northern city? It did help to see the sun to know which direction you were going, amen? Sure. And yeah, we had a day like that, and you know, I don't know, for some reason, I noticed it because it's kind of rare here, and I thought, you know, I know the sun's up there, but I can't see it. And I thought about it, made me think about an occasion when Brother Jewel Smith and I got on an airplane, flew to Alabama in the middle of the summer, and flew back the same afternoon. We went up there to do a funeral at a graveside for one of his preacher boys that had been called to preach and under his ministry. And that preacher boy's wife, I knew them both pretty well, had died. And we had a graveside. And I want to tell you something. Florida has no heat like we had that afternoon in Alabama. Not one leaf was moving. It was so humid. And we did the graveside, and we were trying to get back and catch the plane and get home. And we got back to the airport, and I was noticing all the time the sky was turning dark blue back there. And a cloud was really building. And it was doing it pretty fast. And we got in there, and the airport was not too crowded. We got on out, and I had a couple number on the plane. We got on the plane, I thought, surely he's not going to take off with that storm coming like it is. I mean, it looked bad. And but he did. He took off right into it. And when we got up about 4,000 feet, I think he'd have left to turned around, but he couldn't. That plane become a piece of paper in the wind. I mean, it was up and down. It was sideways. The lights went off. Lightning was running all across the plane. It was a bad time. And now, Brother Jewel Smith, you'd have to know him. He was a bold and loud preacher. And as everybody began to get scared to death, he started preaching to the whole plane. And they heard him. I want to tell you something. Nobody said shut up. They were all praying. There was a lady across the aisle. She had beads. She was praying those beads. She was going to town on those beads. He prayed the plan of salvation, how Jesus loved them and died for them, and how you might be fixing to face him. And that plane would go totally dark once in a while, and they'd scream a little bit, but then they'd quiet down. But you could hear people trying to pray. And then we broke out of it. And the stewardess got up, and we broke out, and I looked out the window, and we were on top of that cloud. we were above it, and it looked so calm, and it looked so pretty, but the storm was raging down below. Stewardess got up, and they all began to order drinks. Preacher didn't miss that. He said, all of you fakers, show you how you really felt. He nailed them. And the truth was, that was exactly the way it was. But I thought about that many, many times, how we were in the raging storm, but when we broke through, how beautiful it was. Yeah, the sun was above the clouds. I think about that quite a bit. This text here has that thought in it, if you really look at it. I want to say this. It was the book of Malachi was a sad time because it ended in defeat for Israel. Students tell us, history, that there was about 400 years roughly between the book of Malachi and the starting of the New Testament and the book of Matthew. And in that 400 years, they call it the silent years because God did not speak to them. He did not call a prophet. He ended up with a promise of Elijah coming, but no prophet came. And so up until the birth of Christ, there was somewhat a silent. Yes, his word, the Old Testament was there. But what I'm saying to you, he was letting Israel know of his displeasure. He threatened them here in the book of Malachi. He talked about how they wouldn't even close the house of God without getting paid for it. He talked about how they'd stolen the tithe from him and all of that. And he ends it that way, and he goes, as it were, into silence. And it was a sad time, but there's a promise here. There's a promise here that the time would come that God's people would have the wicked as ashes under their feet. A time here when the sun, S-U-N, would rise in righteousness. It was depicting and picturing when the S-O-N, Son of God, would come back, as Sister Clark was singing, and rise, and we would walk in his light. And so I say to you today, spiritually, it's a cloudy day today. Our nation, and we got a lot of good people in our nation today confused. We wonder, and a lot of fear. I'm having a lot of folks say things to me as a preacher. And I want to say to you, none of this has taken God by surprise. It's already been written ahead of time. And I don't like what I see. I don't like seeing us lose our civil liberties, and we're losing them even faster than I thought. I mean, even before the inauguration takes place, we're losing the freedom of speech like crazy. We're looking around seeing what the Bible says. The Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And those that know the Lord Jesus Christ and know what is right and what is wrong and what old America stood for and what is happening now, we are amazed. And you hear over and over, in my country? Yeah, yeah. Morally, losing common sense. I heard where a lady, Gag is going to sing the national anthem at the inauguration. Now she's misnamed. I think it's supposed to be Lady Go-Go Gaga. I think I named her better, Gag. Of course, she's already misnamed when they called her Lady. Amen. Help yourself, Mickey. It's all yours this morning. Morally, we're sinking. We wonder what in the world is going on. Common sense seemed to be lost. Did you see in the news where now they're passing a bill, trying to pass a bill in Congress where everybody has to call you by the pronoun of the gender that you think you are? You can't be called boy, girl, sister, mother, daddy, anything that designates. You got to be called something in the middle. Now that's crazy, folks. Of course it is. Of course it is. But it's happening. Evil is being set up. Did you see where the Attorney General in New York is suing the police department because some of them use their nightsticks on the crowd that was spitting in their face and burning the buildings down? And he's suing them because they sprayed mace or tear gas in some cases on that mob. And the governor of New York is saying, that's right, sue them, they done wrong. Can you imagine? See, the Bible said the day had come when evil would be called good and good would be called evil, and the reverse of everything right seems to be taking place today. And it's a little bit hard for you and I to know what is right, but we're seeing our freedoms evaporate quickly. Now, we had the march that I think got out of hand, and I think the president fell into a trap probably, and everybody getting painted with the same brush, and that's not, that is not honest at all. But did you see since then a fulfillment of the Bible? I want to show it to you. It's in Matthew chapter 10. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 10, I saw this in the news, where that family members was looking at the crowd on TV and pointing out to the authorities, I had a relative in there, I want to turn him in. Oh yeah, had a daughter that turned in her mother, right? Let me read it to you. Here's the fulfillment, Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth, verse 34. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother. That's what I just told you. Daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. We're there, folks. We're there. With the media, with the cell phone thing, online, all that business. Now, kinfolk turning in kinfolk. I saw in the paper where some guy here locally got arrested. His kinfolk turned him in for something he said. And by the way, why are we so dumb to say things and spread it out to the whole world? The sheriff told me, he said, I had to hire more help because I catch more criminals over their cell phones than any other way. That's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. But that's where we're at. And here's the fulfillment of it. The man's foes will be those of his own household. And what we're seeing happen today is a cloudy day. We're seeing a threat of retaliation if you don't buy the party line. If you don't think the liberal far left stuff, then you are an enemy of the state. That's communism. That's what it always was. And what they're doing now is retaliating, and what they want to do with fellows like me and you, they want to put us in re-education camps. Well, that's a communist thing that's been going on for long. As soon as they came to power, they destroyed the opposition. And so we're seeing that. So it is a cloudy thing. It's a depressing thing. There's no doubt about it. And the threat of retaliation. I saw the adulteress, Cortez, is that her name? Big painted up mouth, always on TV, you know who I'm talking about. Lives shacked up with a boyfriend, you know who I'm talking about. Come see me when I'm in jail, will you? Because the powers that come don't like this at all. This is called freedom of speech, old-fashioned Americanism, amen? They don't like that. But did you see where she wants to get a bill passed to check out the media to see if they're telling the truth according to her, which would eliminate some Fox News and others that are fairly right, amen? No, listen, that's what they want to do. They want to take over. So it's cloudy. I mean, we look and say, what is going on here with this crowd being in the driver's seat and getting by with all of this business? But the Marxists have always followed what they're doing now. In America, you can write the script by it. They're going to get rid of the opposition. They're going to start in the youngest classes in school to brainwash the kids all the way up through. And they are right now, there's a paper article in the paper this week about it, is right now the whole thing is they're trying to get into the youngest kids, kindergarten and first grade, and bring in the curriculum to teach them, you may think you're a boy, you may think you're a girl, but maybe you're not. And so we need to talk to you and teach you about this. I want to tell you folks something. I'd eat bologna or hot dogs to keep my kid in a Christian school before I'd let them go into that kind of brainwashing. If you can train them at home, fine, but I want to tell you something. You'll need some help there. Have you also seen where they had the virtual schools and they're encouraging, they don't like it that parents are looking on the screens at home? Oh yeah, they're fussing about that. They even have some parents have to sign a form that they won't look at what the kids are having to study on the screen. Now that is pretty suspicious, isn't it? I mean, that's crazy. So when I say to you it's a cloudy day, it seems like it just seems like things are turned topsy-turvy, and we are suddenly patriotic people are becoming enemies of the state. And the next thing you know, it's gone. It's being taken up. Losing your Second Amendment. That's coming. I'm sorry to say it, but it is. Those freedoms that you took for granted. I had a preacher say this week, I'll die of lead poisoning. I know what he meant. He meant when they come after mine, that's where I'll die. Understand. Now, but I want to tell you, we need to do something before then, don't we? But it's a cloudy day. It is a cloudy day in America. You know, clouds are used to conceal things. That's why on the battlefield, they explode a smoke bomb. And the troops advance under the screen of the cloud of the smoke, and it's a part of a warfare. There's no doubt about that. And airplanes in the old days, World War II, when they propeller planes in particular, the clouds were important. They'd plane would try to hide in the cloud bank and maybe attack from there, or maybe keep from being attacked because they couldn't see them. I know things are more sophisticated than that now, but the clouds sometimes are used to conceal things. You know, I don't know about you, but I think we've all watched the cloud build up. Did you ever have something you wanted to do in the afternoon and you were worried it was going to rain it out? I remember when I first started racing hot rods on the track, it was clay tracks. Rain was very bad for clay tracks. And I remember on race day, I'd get up in the morning, I'd start watching the sky. Oh, I didn't have nothing to pull it up and look. But I'd start watching the sky. And it would seem to me like a little old cloud in the morning would be bigger after lunch, and then bigger, and rain on my race that night if I wasn't. I mean, I remember watching the cloud build up. Have you ever seen one build up and finally get to where it just bang, it exploded, it was bad, the thunder and the lightning and the flood, and we've had that have had youth camp out here and other things. So many times we've watched that and prayed against it, and I've seen God do some miraculous things with it too. But clouds conceal things. We've all watched that happen. I believe we're seeing some things being concealed today. I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, preacher, you're beating a straw man. That's not ever going to happen to us. Well, you better look around. It's beginning to happen. That's never going to happen to our church. It won't touch our church. Oh, listen, it's beginning to touch it. And there'll be some things in our ministry that you better be praying for. The freedom to keep on preaching and teaching and the Word of God and doing the ministry as we do it. It may be changing a lot faster than you think it is. And I do believe that it is. And there's a cloud of confusion out there hiding things from us and all of that. But you know, the day will come that the evil that the cloud hides will be exposed. That's what we read basically in the text. There's a time coming when the Son of Righteousness, a synonym for the Lord Jesus Christ, the S-O-N Son, is going to rise with healing in his wings. That's what the text said. There's going to be a time things are going to be put right, folks. Things are going to be exposed. The cloud's going to be brushed away and the truth is going to come out and the sun will arise. You know, we know he's there. Even the other day when I couldn't see the sun, I knew it was there. I knew it was there. I may not see the Lord Jesus in all this stuff, but he's there. He's above the cloud. He's got his eye on it. And one day, we're going to see him as he deals with it all. I think about that. He's not hid from you and I that believe on him. He lives in our heart. We have the witness in our very heart in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God beareth witness that with our spirit that we are his. We know that. And thank God. I enjoyed the music this morning, didn't you? The Spirit of God was witnessing through the praises we were singing to him. He'll witness to you through the preaching and the teaching of the Word. He'll witness to you in the house of God. You want to say, well, I want to feel something from God. You'll come nearer in the house of God feeling something from God than you will some other places you go. And the truth of the matter is, he is there where you see him with your eye not. He is behind the clouds. He is up there. I don't know. Once in a while, late at night, I don't sleep good. Sometimes I get up and flip through and see what's on the channel. Have you ever caught one of these paranormal programs on the TV? Come on, bail me out by raising your hand. You ever caught one? All right, two, three of you. The rest of you watching something I don't know. Anyway. You ever caught any of them? Sometimes, you know, we got cameras everywhere. Everybody's got cameras in their hands now, all over the place, wherever you go. They catch some weird stuff on some of those cameras. You can't explain it. And I saw something, it's been quite a while now, but I saw something and a couple of times. I saw the clouds. They took a picture of the clouds, and it was like an angry face looking down, and it shook up the population over around Russia somewhere. I want to tell you what, I know it was clouds, but boy, did it look good. It looked like somebody in heaven was frowning. It looked like God was looking down, and it got the people's attention. I saw another one where here in America, where a lady in the afternoon, not dark, in the afternoon, the clouds was moving around a little bit, and there was a cloud over here, and there was a cloud over there. I'm going to tell you what I saw. It's probably still on tape. It looked like, if you ask somebody to draw a picture of God, I think about the little girl that all the kids was drawing pictures and the teacher was looking. And she walked over to her and she said, "What are you drawing, honey?" Little girl said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." Teacher said, "Well, honey, nobody knows what God looks like." She said, "They will when I get through with this picture." Now get the point. Average person has some idea, and you've seen all kind of pictures, probably very inaccurate, of what they think Jesus looks like or God. This woman had on her camera, and they showed it over and over, had on his camera, big cloud bank over here, a figure walked from one cloud bank to the other with a long robe on. Yes, it looked like if somebody was trying to draw what is commonly thought of as a picture of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you what she believed. She had a fit over it, and she still had it on her camera, and it was still showing it. Now, you say, what was it? I think it was some cloud, but who shaped the cloud? And why, I don't know. But I'm saying to you, while the clouds conceal the wickedness as we use that figure today, the clouds also are shielding Jesus. And one day they're going to open up and he's going to come. That's what the text said. The sun will arise with righteousness in his wings. There's a time the cloud's going to move away and Jesus is going to be there. I read about it in Revelation chapter 6, and you know what the population does? They cry, "Have the mountains and rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne." They don't want to see him. You know why folks don't want to see Jesus today? For the same reason a thief don't want to see a cop. They're guilty. Guilty. And today, there's enough guilt, brother, that's going to be exposed one of these days. It's going to be something. Now, the cloud also conceals his glory today. His glory is not hid from you and I that believe. We know about it. Do you know he's coming as the coming King. King of kings and Lord of lords. Now this world wants a kingdom, but they don't want God's kingdom. That's why they're going to take a substitute kingdom under the Antichrist. They're going to take his mark and his number and the systems in place. I've been teaching this in Sunday school out of Revelation 13. The system's here. We just don't know who the man that's going to lead it is yet. But the system is here. And the mark is not that far off that you'll have to have to function, to buy, to sell, to go to the doctor, to get your prescription. All of that will be involved in the mark that is talked about in Revelation 13. And it's coming, but the Bible theme is there's coming a righteous king, the Lord Jesus. Psalms 2 says he's going to sit on Zion's hill. God's going to enthrone him, even though the nations will rage about it. Read Psalms 2 over there. He's going to set him on Zion's hill. He's going to show who is the high and only potentate. Jesus is that king. He is coming. He has a kingdom. It'll be a kingdom like man has never seen, a kingdom where peace prevails. where the lion and the lamb can lay down together. King that rules in righteousness. What a difference that will be. Yes, he's coming again. The Old Testament, you read all the way through the Old Testament of the Bible, it says the king is coming. You read in the Gospels, it says the king has come. You read in the epistles in the book of Revelation, it says he is coming again. Oh yeah, it's all about him. He's coming. He's going to rule and reign on planet Earth. He's going to set things right. You talk about a righteous government. You talk about good being exposed compared to what we have now. It's going to be a big difference. It is really going to be a big difference. You know, the clouds do conceal his glory for now, but he's going to step through them. He's going to come. I talk about signs in the skies and stuff. That's what the Bible says. It tells you there's going to be signs of his coming. There's always been signs before great big events. So don't be surprised in the next few weeks, few months, that some things that are unexplainable begin to happen, because God is going to give a little forewarning that Jesus is coming. He's about to arise with righteousness in his wings. If you study a little history, you'll go back. There was a terrible day. It was in AD 70 when the Roman Emperor Titus went in against Jerusalem and destroyed the city and destroyed the temple and burned it to the ground and all the bad stuff that happened. And the Jews had been warned, Jesus warned of it before they crucified him. But they did not take heed. And Josephus, the historian, he was a Jew himself, the Jews considered him a traitor because he kind of seemed to write in favor of Rome, but he wrote an accurate history, still studied in the big universities today. And Josephus said, before Titus came against the city of Jerusalem and before he came against the temple, that there were signs in the heavens. Some reported, he said, that as the sun began to sink in the afternoon, they would see images of armies marching around the city in the sky. Well, that's what they did when they came, when the Romans came. He told several other things I don't have time to tell you about, but there were signs that happened. And Josephus said those signs took place. Well, the Bible does talk about signs. God is good about that. And you'll read in the Bible when Jesus is about to come back to set up his kingdom, here's the sign of the Son of Man is going to be in the heavens. They go see that before they see him. Now, if you want to see what happens, the clouds will split and he will be seen. And if I were to turn over to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, here's what it would say. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And all the kindreds. Now, you think about this. Jesus in the sky. You and I would say, fall down and worship him. But those that fear him do not want to see him. So the rest of the verse says that all the kindreds of the earth shall wail, cry out in fear, wail because of him. And then the last verses say, words say, even so come Lord Jesus. Now, do you get the picture? When the sign of the Son of Man, Matthew 24, shows up in heaven, the tribes, the kindreds of the earth, the people are going to wail because he's coming. They're going to cry out. But God says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah, he'll come with clouds. Somebody says, well, the clouds may not be moisture clouds as in the sky. It may be clouds of the crowd that's coming with Jesus. It could be. He's going to come back with the armies of heaven to set up his kingdom. We understand that. But I'm saying to you, he's above the clouds. And one day they're going to open up and reveal him. This world is going to cry. They are going to wail. They're going to be shocked. They're going to cry out in their fear. They're going to cry out in their guilt. Because when they had a chance to receive him as Savior, they wouldn't. Now he's coming back as judge. And they fear his coming. I ask you today, where will it find you? Have you received him as your Savior? Have you trusted him, the one that loved you and died for you on the cross and paid for your sins and rose again on the third day? Have you trusted him as Savior, then you won't fear him as judge. You'll love to see your Savior. The Bible talks about those that love his appearing. I love his appearing. I want it to happen. I'm sorry, folks, but if I could say, Lord, do it today, I'd say do it today. I see no other answer for the world. I see no answer for the problems except Jesus. He is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, and he is holding back till somebody else gets saved. But one day, it'll be the last one to get saved, and the clouds are going to roll back, and the sun is above the clouds, and he's going to break through. He's going to have his will and set up his kingdom. I'm going to see him as Savior. Are you? Are you? I pray you are. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you can say, Preacher, I do know him as Savior? Oh, if he came today, he'd be coming for me. I'm his. If you can say that with the uplifted hand, would you lift it? Would you lift it? Heads are bowed. Nobody looking but God and his preacher this morning. Can you lift it in assurance? Thank you. May put them down. You say, well, I don't know. It's your privilege to know. And if you couldn't lift your hand, I fear you do know. You know you'd be left behind. You know he'd be coming as your judge, not Savior. Oh, my friend, I remember a time I didn't know Christ as Savior. And I would have been very afraid to hear a preacher preach as I've preached this morning. But oh, listen. Long time ago, I received him as Savior. Now, I rejoice that I'm going to get to see him one day, and that day is getting closer and closer every minute we breathe. Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation. I pray that those that did not lift their hand, they're saved, would slip down the aisle this morning, just step out, boldly, unashamedly come to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. May you bless the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll receive Jesus, meet me right here and say, Preacher, I believe he was the Son of God. I warn you as my Savior. Would you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
He will arise one of these days. Healing in his wings. As we sing, will you come?
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I call.
Will you come? Singing, I come. Have you ever come?
I come. Just
Jesus said this, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then he said this, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father in heaven. Which one are you doing, confessing him or denying him? Which one? Oh, yes, it's important. Which one? It's going to make the difference whether you face him as Savior or judge. Face him in fear or love. Which one? When I was a little boy, Dad be working away. And I'd do some things that was wrong, and Mama would say, I'll tell Daddy when he gets home. So when Daddy got home, I often feared to see him. But when I'd done good, I wanted to see him. How do you look toward the coming of Christ? Love? Fear? Are you ready? Are you ready? You just take this last year with the pandemic, with the election, everything. Has some things happened to surprise you? Have they happened fast? Sure. Jesus is coming one of these days. It's going to happen fast. Are you ready? Are you ready? I pray that you are.